Amen. In your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 is where I'd like to begin to read. I've got two places to bring to you this morning, and then many more scriptures to come. But in opening, while you're standing, turn with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 26. It says this: "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." God's ways are way higher than ours. I don't understand all the things that God does, but I know God does good things. Amen. Hold on, I'm not done yet. Verse 28. "And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Friend, my life is blessed, but it's because of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. One more verse and I'll let you be seated. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 25. Matthew 11 verse 25 says this: "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hath revealed them unto babes." Amen. Whew. I'm telling you, God has shown us great and mighty things. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know the verses that I read, foolish and wise, and He uses things that confound others and base things to, you know, God's ways are higher than our ways. And this is the thought I hope to convey. Discerning truth. Discerning truth. Would you say that with me? Discerning truth. I pray that each of us, that every one of us, I pray that I continue to discern truth. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. I ask even now, Lord, that as you, in your wisdom and in your power and in your might and in your glory, Lord, have already revealed yourself in this word, I pray, Lord, that also in us, that in me, that in each person here that would hear the preaching of the word today, Lord, that we would discern, Lord, by the Holy Ghost, by your presence, Lord, by your glory, Lord, by your hand upon us, that we would discern truth. Lord, help us, Lord, I pray to receive it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Discerning truth. You know, you could ask 100 different people out there in the world, and you're probably going to get 100 different opinions, maybe 150, someone said, versions of truth. I tell you, the truth that I want is I want to know Jesus. I want to know Jesus for who He is. I want to know Him as the Lord who is the Almighty God in my life. And that, my friend, is the truth. I want to know Him. Praise the Lord. You see, God does not intend to hide His purpose, His plan from His people. God wants you to know who He is. Jesus came, the Almighty, glorious Creator God, robed Himself in the flesh as Jesus Christ, came to earth that we may know Him. Praise the Lord. I want to know who Jesus is. God intends to reveal His plan, His purpose, His ways, His glory unto His people. You see, in revealing Himself unto people, God reveals His plan for redemption. Amen. God, from the beginning, has a plan for mankind. Amen. That He Himself would redeem them. Bring them, mankind, unto Himself. That is God's plan. God wants you to know Him, discerning truth. Amen. Jesus, in His church, is the ultimate revelation of God's plan. Amen. It is God's plan to have a church in these last days. Amen. A people that will know Him by His name. I'm not just praying, oh, God of heaven and earth. I do pray to the God of heaven and earth, but I happen to know His name. Amen. I happen to know that His name is Jesus. Praise the Lord. Many of the best-selling books involve mysteries. You know, it may be a mystery of who done it or what's going on. And you have to get through the beginning and the middle all the way to the end to really figure out the mystery. It is not God's will that His Word remain a mystery. The Word of God was given unto us that we may know Him. It's given to us that it may be the key to our understanding about Him. Amen. It is the authority given by God to reveal Jesus to us. Amen. We find in this book, in the Bible, the answers to life's challenges. Amen. You want to know which way to go, what to do, how to do it? It's right there in the Word. He gives us principles to live by. He gives us hope where we had no hope. He gives us strength when we had no strength. He is the Almighty God. Amen. Many take the position, or have taken, some still do take the position that the Godhead is a mystery. You know, a mystery is only a mystery in the beginning of the book. Sometimes people figure it out even in the middle of the book. But certainly by the time you get all the way to the end, the intent of the book is that you would understand the mystery. If you don't understand what the mystery is at the end of the book, well, then you missed the point of the book. The point of the Bible is that Jesus would be revealed unto us. That's the point of the book. Amen. So yes, if you're not really familiar with the Bible, if you haven't really been around church very much, if you're just beginning your walk with God, it may seem like you're still in the midst of a mystery. Who is God? What is His name? You may be asking those questions, and the answer is in the book. He reveals Himself unto us in the book. The scriptural truth is that the mighty God is in Christ Jesus. Amen. The mystery is solved. Read the back of the book. We win. It's one of my favorite sayings. You've heard me say it. Amen. You can have confidence once you've read the book. You can know who Jesus is when you know the book. Romans chapter 1, verse number 20. Excuse me. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. I tell you what, at the end of the time of mankind, the world will have no excuse to not know who Jesus is. Basic instructions before leaving earth. I want to know who Jesus is. Amen. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 9. For in Him dwelleth all, someone say all. All of the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus is not just a part of the Godhead. Jesus is the Godhead. He's not one little piece. He's not an equal part with. I tell you, there is no God beside Him. There is no Creator beside Him. There is no Savior beside Him. He is the Creator, Almighty God. He is the Lord God Almighty. He is who He is. He is the great I Am. Jesus the Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Some consider the book of Revelation, oh, it's a scary book. No, it's not. It's not scary. You know, we've been doing end time Revelation Bible studies now for like a year and some, a little more than a year, I suppose. And it's a comforting feeling to me to know that God wrote a long time ago about the things that will take place in our day. And it is and has and will take place just like it is, like it says in the book, in the Bible. It gives me great comfort to know that God is in control. Amen. To me, it's not scary. It's comforting. Amen. I know that God has got this. I know that God's ways are higher than our ways. Amen. Praise the Lord. So some think that the book of Revelation is a mystery. But the word, even the very word revelation, does not mean mystery. It means disclosure. Manifestation. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ, a book to reveal Jesus. Amen. It's not scary. If you think it's scary, you don't know enough about the book. I hope you'll learn. Praise the Lord. Have we got classes for you? I hope you'll come. Amen. His purpose, the purpose of God, God's purpose, is not to identify the Antichrist. You know what? I have very little anticipation of learning who the Antichrist is. Learning who he is not going to do me much good. Because I already know who Jesus Christ is. Amen. The book of Revelation is not about the Antichrist. It's the revealing of Jesus Christ. Amen. Some things that God has chosen not to reveal. True, I don't know who the Antichrist is. So what? I know that seems flippant. That seems, kind of haphazard. But I don't need to know who the Antichrist is to know who Jesus is. And it's much more powerful, much more fulfilling, much more valuable to understand who Jesus is than it would ever be to know who the Antichrist is. The world is going to find that out when he stands up in the temple and calls himself God Almighty. It's going to happen, and it's going to be revealed to the whole world, and the whole world is going to know. But until then, I don't know who he is. And in all probability, you don't know either. So there are some things that are held and not revealed by God. God knows the beginning and the ending. Amen. My God is the Alpha and the Omega. Before there was God. And after there is, will be God. Amen. Beyond anything that ever was is God. And when everything is all done, there is God. Amen. And God is in control from the beginning until the end. That's how great God is. Amen. The greatest secret of all is revealed in Jesus Christ. It is the truth that Jesus Christ, that His Spirit, the Spirit of Almighty God, dwells in us. Amen. People are filled with the Holy Ghost. That is the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Almighty God that speaks through us. We'll speak in another tongue as God gives us the utterance. It's the manner and the method. It is the fulfillment of the plan that God gave us in the Bible. He did it then, He's doing it now, and God's not changing His mind. In the Old Testament, God was for His people. He fought their battles. He led them through the wilderness. He brought them by a mighty strong hand and delivered them. God was for them in the Old Testament. It's undeniable. Just look at the book. You can see God's hand in His people. You can see God delivering them, directing them, helping them, healing them. God was for them in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, Jesus Christ robed Himself in flesh. He walked among them. God was with us. Emmanuel. God with us in the New Testament. The apostles walked with him and talked with him. They saw him do the miracles among the people, feeding the thousands and healing the many. He saw him speak to the wind and to the wave, to nature itself. He saw him say, "Lazarus, come forth," as the dead raised up from the grave. God was with them in the New Testament. But the great mystery, the greatest mystery of all time, of all of the mankind's age, is the great mystery of the church. It goes beyond God's for us. It goes beyond God is with us. The glorious mystery is God is in us. It's better than before. It's better than it's ever been. You see, now is the time to live for God, because God's not just for us. God is not just with us. God is in us in this day, in our time. I've had people at discussions at work, and I've had people tell me, "Well, that was for the Bible, and that's not for our day." Too late. It's too late to tell me that God's not going to be in us today, because I've already received the gift of the Holy Ghost. I have already spoken tongues. I've already experienced God's power. I know that God is in me. I know that God spoke through me. It's too late to tell me that story, because I know who Jesus is. Amen. Praise the Lord. God's ways of revelation. God has a way to reveal Himself to people. Yes, it is true. To many, God conceals. He does. God conceals stuff from many people. God conceals some mysteries. I don't know who the Antichrist is. I don't know all the answers. But I know the answer. I know who the answer is. Jesus. Amen. Amen. They must be searched out. If you want to know, you got to search for it. Some truths are hard for men and women to understand. The worldly wise can easily miss the wisdom of God. I was listening to a radio program with my wife in the car going to Bristol yesterday for the youth thing, and it was talking about how, you know, our popular talk show host, Phil Donahue, died recently, 89 years old. And he was a talk show guy that had a daytime TV program years ago. His program died and Oprah came on and took his place, and Oprah's program is off. But there's always going to be somebody that is going to be talking about our worldly things. Well, they came against the Christian person that was on their program. I'll not name him, but they came against him with a vengeance. You mean God has, it's all about him. He has a big ego. And oh, yeah, yes. True. The whole book is about him. It's about his people and what he does and who he is. That is what the Bible's about. You know, the world wants to put you down because you believe the Bible. Oh, you've got a narrow view of, you think you're the only one that knows the truth? Well, Jesus is the truth. If you don't know Him, you don't know the truth. Oh, that's like offensive, right? I want to know Jesus. The whole world is going to go crazy. But I want, the world's already crazy, thank you very much. But yes, I want to know Jesus. Genesis chapter number 32 in Genesis, beginning at verse number 29. You know, we already read that God has hidden things from the wise and the prudent. And that He has revealed unto babes. You know, you don't have to be in this a long time. And it also is referring to a simple thinking. How to be saved is so simple, it can be summarized in a single verse of Scripture. Amen. Which, at the sign right behind me, you can read it for yourself. The Scriptures can be made simple that a child can understand it. Amen. I've seen many children receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I've baptized many children in the name of Jesus Christ. I know that children know how to pray. Amen. God moves in miraculous ways in simple thinking. Amen. Genesis chapter 32, verse 29. And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. Jacob's name was changed to Israel, and he touched the sinew of his thigh, and it shrank, and he walked with a limp the rest of his life. From that encounter, he was different. He was changed when he had an encounter with God. People have wanted to know his name since the very beginning. Since mankind was, they wanted to know his name. Israel wanted to know, "Who sent you? I am that I am." It was a mystery. It hadn't been revealed yet. Jesus didn't identify his name yet at that time. It was yet a mystery. And so God kept it secret for some 4,000 years until the birth of Jesus. Amen. The angel of the Lord told Joseph that Mary's child, that when she conceived, it would be of the Holy Ghost, and went on to reveal his name. Matthew 1, verse 21, "And she brought forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." It's the purpose. It's the reason. It's the method. It's why Jesus came. God discloses mysteries often gradually. Many, and I would say even most, do not comprehend the truth, who Jesus is, all at once. It's like coming out of a dark place, out of a tunnel or out of a cave or out of something where there is little or no light into a place where there is light. You can see it afar off. It gets brighter as you approach, and as it comes into full view, it becomes brilliant and bright, and everything is light. Jesus reveals himself. When you've come out of the darkness of this world and into his marvelous light, you will then understand who Jesus is. Apollos in the Bible is a good example. As a Jew, he believed in one God. He was convinced. He knew it. He had been taught it. He lived it. He was a Jew. as a disciple of John the Baptist, he believed in repentance and in water baptism. You got to repent of your sins, tell God that you're sorry, and turn from those wicked ways. Be baptized in water. But the fullness of truth was revealed to Apollos through Aquila and Priscilla. You see, these Jesus name believers heard him preach and heard him speak with boldness. Man, we got to tell this guy who Jesus is. Amen. There's people you know that are living in as much truth as they have ever conceived. They're living as best of a life that they know how to live. You know what? That's great. It's a good thing, but it's not enough. We have to know who Jesus is. Acts chapter 18, beginning at verse 24 down to 28. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. He was living and preaching and teaching and doing everything that he knew how to do. He was doing the very best that he could. The best that he knew wasn't yet fulfilled. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. You can find it in the Word. Jesus is the Christ. It was a stepping stone of revelation. It was a furthering of his understanding. The mystery became clear when he heard about Jesus. There's many examples of God's revelation. God has chosen very many different ways to reveal himself, the truth of who he is. You see, a parable, he taught in parables. A parable is a similitude. It is a comparison. It is a figure of what is yet to be. The disciples asked, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Jesus answered them, Matthew 13, verse 11, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given." The parables were a way to reveal who Jesus is to those who would believe. Amen. Believe it. He is the Almighty God. Parables illustrated truth for his followers, and it also shrouded it from those who refused to accept and believe on him. It did both things. There is, of course, an illumination of the word of the Bible. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that day received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so." I hope you look at the Bible and make sure that what you hear is true. Amen. Praise the Lord. It was necessary for the Ethiopian eunuch to hear the word of God to be saved. However, he also needed someone to help him understand the word. Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse number 30. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scriptures which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth." In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. It was speaking of Jesus. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of him or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Jesus is the fulfillment of scripture. He is the revelation of the Almighty God. He is the revelation. There's a revelation of deity. It's in Jesus Christ. The only way a person can understand the Word of God for salvation is by the Spirit of God. You need the Holy Ghost. Spiritual truth is discerned only by the Spirit. God will give you understanding. God will help you know Him. God will show Himself unto you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting at verse 10. "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." Amen. It's a revelation. It is an understanding. It is an opening of our mind to know who God is when we receive the Holy Ghost. He reveals His Word and His very nature unto us. His abiding. He is an abiding inward presence within us. When we receive the Holy Ghost, we receive the Spirit of Jesus Christ into our hearts. It's not, well, you say, well, Holy Ghost? No. It's not scary, it's wonderful. You don't have to be afraid of it. Get excited. It's the power of God unto salvation. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 9, and also verse 14. "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His." That's a scary thought. I want to know Jesus. Amen. For as verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." It's not scary, it's wonderful. Amen. Things not revealed. The things God has revealed belong to us. But the secret things, those things which he has chosen not to reveal at this time, belong to God. I know God has all things in his power and in his control. And I trust God. I don't have to know the understanding of everything in the end time. I just know Jesus is in control. Amen. I don't know who the Antichrist is. And frankly, I don't need to know. Because I know who Jesus Christ is. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. The secret things belong unto God, our God, belong unto the Lord, our God. Excuse me. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of the law. You know, we should concentrate on the principles that are necessary. God, how close to you can I get? How much can I please you? How wonderful are your ways? And Lord, how can I serve you? Many things that still belong to the knowledge of the Lord. There's things only God knows. And I don't need to know all things. I need to know who Jesus is. So why do bad things happen to good people? Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. God has been really, really good to me. I have no complaints about God's goodness. But yes, I have been sick. Yes, I did get hurt at different times. Yes, I know what it's like to lay in a hospital. Yes, I know what it's like to be sick in a bed. And God's still good. God's still good. Amen. Because I'm a human, because I'm a man, I live in this flesh. It's subject to the flesh. But I, in the spirit, know who God is. Amen. I'm about halfway through my notes. And I don't want to take another 40 minutes. But I do want to do this. I have this thought for our altar call today. There's people under the sound of my voice who know who Jesus is. There's people right here in this congregation who have full confidence that Jesus is the mighty God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to have a group of people right here. I'll tell you what. Who in our church, a believer in Jesus Christ, you know that Jesus is the Almighty God. If you fit in that category, and Jesus has given you a miracle in your flesh, in your body. How many people have been healed from cancer in this church? Would you come over here, right here? Because I'm going to ask you to pray for people who want healing. If you know who Jesus is and you've been healed and you come over here, thank you very much. Because I'm going to get another group down and stand over there. I'm going to have people come to, if in our altar call today, if you want healing in your body, these people right here know who Jesus is. And they know that Jesus is the Christ. He is the only living God. And they have also firsthand experienced that God is a healer. Amen. It's the truth. You got to discern truth. It's the truth that my God is a healer. Amen. So people who want healing, you're going to come over here for prayer. Okay? Now, people, stay right there. Hold on. We're going to pray in just a few more minutes. Okay? I got to set up our altar call. Now, there are people under the sound of my voice who have been baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Who have had their sins remitted. Amen. That they have experienced water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. And I don't know that there's words really to understand really what happens when sin is lifted from my life. But it is a physical feeling when God does a miraculous spiritual thing and your sins are remitted. Amen. If you believe that, you've experienced that. Let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4. How about 5 people that want to pray for people to come right here? You've experienced baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. You'd like to pray for people. Come on up here right now. 5 people. 1, 2, 3, 4. One more. 5. All right. Come on up. 5 or 6. Praise the Lord. These people have had this experience. In fact, stand in the middle because I got one more group I'm going to put over there. Come on in. Stand in the middle because I got one. Now, we're going to fill up the rest of the altar. God has filled people with the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Brother Dyke, you know what that is. Amen. If you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, you know what it is that God speaks through you in another language. You speak in other tongues, and you've experienced that. I'd like you to come over here and ask you to pray for somebody that needs the gift of the Holy Ghost today. Amen. Come on over here, right over this spot. That's the 5. I don't need the whole church, and there's a bunch of people here. I need 5 people. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's good. Now, these people have... you believe that Jesus fills people with the Holy Ghost?
Yes.
You believe that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Brother Dyke, I know you believe that. You believe God fills you with the Holy Ghost, right? You believe God's still doing it, right? These people believe that God is going to fill people with the gift of the Holy Ghost. So whether if you need healing in your body, you need sin to be remitted in your life, or you need God's presence in your life, there is a place here today for you to pray. Amen. Stand with me, would you? Maybe we get a piano twiddler to do the piano twiddle. Amen. But as the music plays, I'm going to ask people to pray. Amen. It should be everybody in the whole congregation, everybody in the entirety of the church should be able to lift your hands and pray and worship and magnify God today, knowing that He is the mighty God. Amen. If you'd like God to do something in your life and you'd like someone to come and pray with you, I'm asking you, come on out of that aisle. Get out into the pew and come on up front and find a place to pray. Seek God's face. Let God do His miraculous way today. Discern the truth. He is the mighty God.